At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by Rich Rebar. We are picking our five favorite games against the spread. I mean, I guess I should say, as always, on Friday morning, but it's not. It's Thursday afternoon again. This is my last wedding for, like, 3 months, and then I got more. It's become a bit of a meme. This is my 10th wedding of the year, but I'm traveling on Friday, so we are recording this on Thursday afternoon. We're not going to make an official pick for the Thursday night game because this isn't going to be out until later, but yeah, man, we're here. All the good teams are on bye, I guess. You know, the fantasy football playoffs are starting and you can't start Stephon Diggs. Not really sure what's going on there. Motivation is Josh Allen. Yeah. Imagine you're showing up to FFPC main event playoffs with a Josh Allen, Davante Adams team, and you're like, well, it was nice. It was nice while it lasted.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. I mean, because it's not like the greatest teams are on bye, but it still is a significant number of guys like across the league when I was setting lineups. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'm missing this guy this week, or I'm missing this guy this week. And I'm like, yeah, this is a pain. And then yeah. I thought about FFPC, and I was like, oh, man, someone doesn't have Josh Allen in FFPC. Like, I hope they picked up someone good before, because I know on our Lamar team, like, we were trying to play ahead for byes, and it was gross. And stuff like, maybe you luck box into like Kenny Pickett, where at least like now you're like, well, Kenny Pickett looks objectively all right now this week. But if you're starting like Bryce Young or like any of these bottom dwellers, you're just gonna be like,
I think Bryce Young was our plan. I think that was, if I remember correctly. I mean, that team is dusted off anyways, but
yep.
that was our plan. Maybe not.
Thanks, Cooper Kupp.
Yeah. Oh God, just catch that touchdown.
Remember the feeling we had when Cooper Kupp fell.
Like I own it when we got him at 8, and I think it was like one of the biggest slam dunks of all time. And then Tony Pollard came around to us on the turn and we were like, well, this is the greatest fantasy football team of all time. Like,
how does this lose?
How does I never considered the possibility that was not the actual $1 million team. Like, just I mean, fantasy football is so stupid.
What's funny is you know, typically, because we like to structure our teams, like a lot of people, we like to anchor RB or like, and sometimes we like, we'll run into a problem where we just like don't find an RB2 over the course of the year, right?
Had a lot of those.
And amazingly, that team just like ran the nuts out at RB2. Like, we had like DeAndre Swift, we had Jerome Ford on that roster.
We were starting running backs and flexes on that team. Yeah. That never happens. Yeah.
It never happens, man. All the receivers ended up sucking, man, for us, which is what a turn of events.
Yeah, and we even had Lamar on that team, so it's not like it was one of those teams that was not getting. I mean, we got no bonus points at quarterback because Gus Edwards scored every Ravens touchdown for 2 months. All right, let's do it.
Let's not dwell on that team any longer.
No, let's not. Your number five favorite selection of the week, NFL picks against the spread, is Hoomst.
I wanted just to have a take on it, so I'm going to take the 49ers. Just to pick the game.
Oh, the Eagles are my number one. So
are they?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Jalen Hurts, home dog.
This is such like a throwback spot where you just jam the 49ers. Like they have the rest advantage. The Eagles are coming off of an overtime game, a full overtime game, which historically has been terrible. Their defense is on the field for 92 plays. They are down another starting linebacker in this game. Like, everything here, like, they've just played three hell games in a row. This feels like just the timing of this spot for the 49ers to kind of come in and just like to take care. I don't say take care of them. I don't want to say like they're going to dog walk the Eagles. They definitely aren't. But I do think that the 49ers are just in like an absolutely advantageous spot for the way this, the timing of this game plays out.
I don't disagree with any of that. I think that all is like pretty good circumstantial analysis of the situation. What I would disagree with, obviously, given that the Eagles are my number one, is that teams that have the best players tend to continually come up big in those spots. When you have Jalen Hurts, when you have A.J. Brown, when you have Jason Kelce, when you have, I could start naming off their defensive players, but everyone who listens to this would know that I was lying because I don't know if any of them are actually all that good. Jalen Carter's really good. I do know that. He is very good. Basically, I would say that the Philadelphia Eagles record in these close games is not an accident. And, you know, analytics nerds would even push back on that, right? Because they'd say like, oh, one score games, you know, it's just kind of like a coin flip and it is what it is. I would basically just say I'm betting on Jalen Hurts the same way that I would bet on Patrick Mahomes, more or less, which is that the biggest moments, the biggest spots, I basically think way more often than not, he's going to come through. There's this great video that you guys can find if you're interested, of basically listening to the defense talking during the last two drives, so the field goal drive and then the touchdown drive in overtime. And the defense, the Eagles defense, is just saying, like, it's over. Like, we have Jalen Hurts. Like, Jalen Hurts is my quarterback. You guys don't know about Jalen Hurts. And, like, obviously he scores the rushing touchdown at the end. So this is not an analytics pick for me. This is not – although I still am very surprised that this is the line, that it's 2.5.
I think it would have got hammered the other way. I think if they set, because just how people bet, like old Vegas heads, like if the Eagles were favored, I think the 49ers would have got hammered. They would have got money line hammered, I think.
Well, yes. Yeah. So I think you are right. I just, like, to me in my head, this was Eagles by 2.5. Like, that's just what I thought even, it would
like,
be.
Like I said, I have it 5. I just wanted to have like us to, because I think it's fun to talk about this game. It's clearly the biggest game of the week. This game is, and I like this game because it feels like these teams genuinely hate each other, right? Like
all the complaining. I mean, remember Debo saying,
yeah,
you know, we would have blown them out, yada yada. Yeah, they do not like each other,
because like we've had like good rivalries in the NFL and they've given us good games, but like it's been a while since we had a rivalry where it's like that was nasty. Like we haven't had a nasty rivalry since like Steelers Ravens, like when they were clipping, like those Steelers Ravens teams. But like, yeah, I maybe the 49ers Seahawks were a little bit like that, like when they were.
Rams Seahawks, when the Rams stunk and the Seahawks were good. Those were good games.
Like that's how I feel like we have the like with this, because like Cowboys Eagles doesn't even feel like that great yet. But like this feels like these teams.
Well, no one actually believes the Cowboys. Like no one believes
everyone's been scorned. But this game feels nasty. I'm actually like excited. I'm genuinely excited for this game. And I definitely believe the Eagles can win. I just think circumstantially the timing of this game, like everything almost falls in the 49ers' favor. Other than you just saying like, hey, they've got Jalen Hurts.
That's it, man. It's Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is a dog at home to Brock Purdy.
Because if this ends up being the NFC Championship game and both teams are off the week before, they're going back to Philadelphia or whatever, you know, if the Eagles, you know, they hang on like that, it's totally different, right? But with the 49ers playing at Thanksgiving, the Eagles just playing that like that last hell game, like they're, like I said, their defense on the field for 92 snaps,
92 plays,
in that game. It's like in the end, losing Zach Cunningham, I think, is huge. If you saw the Bills use James Cook in that game, man, Christian McCaffrey's gonna give them a lot of trouble because they were exploiting those linebackers. So like I'm really curious though, like how this game's gonna play. I hope it's nasty. I hope it's just a fight, man.
I think it probably will be. I think it definitely will be. All right, my number 5, the Los Angeles Chargers -5 points against the New England Patriots. I mean, for me, the Chargers can almost never be higher than 5. Like I think they're permanently banned from being any higher than that. But I mean, this Patriots team, how down bad is Bill Belichick, dude? He's like, Bailey Zappi's probably going to start this game. You know, they just, they got nothing. They are a nothing football team. Yeah, so the Chargers just have to, I guess and we both took the Ravens last week, but the Chargers just have to get to, what, seven? Well, if they get to 21, they cover here because the Patriots are not scoring two touchdowns, I don't think.
The Patriots are the first team in 30 years of football to allow 10 or fewer points in back-to-back games and lose. Like, this is the most simulate-to-end season I've seen from a team in a while. Like, because the Jets are, like, down bad, right? Like, the Jets are down bad. Their quarterback got hurt. This was the Patriots' plan. Like, they've had some defensive injuries, but, like, this is the
roster. Yes, this is what they wanted to do.
This is the roster they put together, though. Like, especially on the offense side of the ball. Like, this, like, they're like, not really, like, missing stuff. That offense, like, this is what they put together. Like, because the defense only gave up 20 points total the last 2 weeks. They didn't really, like, say play like world beaters, but, like, the defense is holding up there under the bargain here. This is the offense that was assembled by human beings to play in the year of 2023 football.
It seems unbelievable. It doesn't actually seem believable.
Before the season, do you remember they gave Devontae Parker that contract extension? And everyone's like, what? Like, it was the most out of left field contract extension we ever saw. Like, what is happening? What is this organization doing? I mean, what? Like, DeMario Douglas might not play in this game. He's like okay. Like, he's like one of their functional players.
Only Brock Purdy plays after suffering a concussion the prior week.
So, like, he probably won't play. I mean, Ramondre's shown, like, some signs of life at least. But, like, dude, this team, it's just unserious operation on offense, dude. It's an absolutely unserious operation. I cannot foresee a time, maybe the rest of the season, I will not bet against the Patriots.
I mean, it just feels like if it was not Bill Belichick coaching them and they weren't the Patriots, they would be getting treated like, you know, the Falcons or whatever. They'd be 9.5-point dogs in some of these spots or whatever. But because they're the Patriots and because they have the ethos, they're getting a little bit more respect.
How do you not, in a situation with the Patriots, because we know what Bailey Zappi is. He's fine. He maybe is like a serviceable backup, can get you through. Like, if your starting quarterback misses a month, he can tread water. You go 2-2 maybe on like a solid team. But like, if you're the Patriots right now and you're 2-9, you actually are staring at maybe getting the first overall pick and maybe pulling yourself out of this hole of this just hell you put yourself in. How do you not just let Malik Cunningham play the rest of these games?
I mean, that's what I've been rooting for this entire time.
How do you not how do you not just say, fuck it? Like, let's just see what Malik Cunningham can do these last six games of the year. We'll let him run around. We'll let him at least do some stuff and just see if, like, maybe he's like someone that either be a chip that we have to, like, just like, I don't see. Cause like, what do you get out of playing Bailey Zappi? What do you get? Like, what is the upside? What do you gain? If even he plays well, what do you get?
Well, I guess you get, I guess you get your backup quarterback for the next couple of years.
Exactly. Dude. Just play Malik Cunningham. Who gives a shit?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, no NFL coaches don't view it the same way we do, you know.
No, like, and definitely Belichick is looking at that shit just like you know, Murtaugh, you know, lethal weapons. Like, I'm too
yes.
old for this shit. Like, I'm too old for this shit. I ain't dealing with like Malik Cunningham. Just whatever.
He's like, I let Cam Newton come in here and run for all those touchdowns, and that didn't get me anywhere. So what is letting Malik Cunningham gonna run for all these touchdowns do? It's not gonna do shit for me. So what's the point? That's definitely where he's at. That was your three. Okay, I figured you'd probably have that one. All right, what is your four?
My four is the Detroit Lions. This is a spot where so Saints have been one of the worst home teams in the NFL this season. The Saints are 0-4-1 against the spread at home this season. The New Orleans Saints have not led at halftime at home at all in a game this season. The only other team to do that this season is the Jets. They are probably not going to have Chris Olave. They lost Rashid Shaheed. I don't know. How do they create offense? Like, you know, how many Alvin Kamara dump offs are going
to be? I mean, I'm a little surprised at you, because I know that you know about Lynn Bowden Jr. I know that you're a ball knower. You know about Lynn Bowden Jr. That's how they're going to create offense.
That's how it's going to happen. But you've got another team like the Lions coming off of a bad loss, which is probably getting baked in the line a bit here, but another rest advantage spot for them. So I think, obviously, we're not worried about road golf in a dome. Like, so this is another one where I just think it's this one probably should be closer to six. So I'm in on this one.
Yeah, got no issue with this one. I am a noted goth non-believer, have been a non-goth boy for as long as I can remember. So these are not spots that just like when I start looking at games, I really want to drift towards, but I'm also really not a Derek Carr guy. I'm also very directionally short on Derek Carr, and Carr without Olave, Shaheed, or Michael Thomas is like, it could get pretty dark. It could get late early for the New Orleans Saints in this game.
And we've seen their defense not really play as well like the past month as they were earlier. Obviously, they're not going to have Marshawn Lattimore here either.
Okay, I got a gross one. I got a very gross one for my number four. The Atlanta Falcons minus...
That's my two. I don't even care. Again, the same thesis. I'll let you go to not to cut you off completely, but I'm just going to bet against the Jets every week at this point.
Dude, it's like... It's very similar to the Patriots thing in the sense of, like, what are we even doing here? Because you're probably not going to win games with Zach Wilson, but you might as well not even play if Tim Boyle is your quarterback. Like, Tim Boyle... What do you have 37 passing yards or something like that heading into the fourth quarter of that game against the Dolphins? It was like the Dolphins Tua threw a pick six and like just kind of whelped around. It didn't matter. It truly did not matter. What the other team did not matter, because the Jets, if they were out there against practice dummies, I don't know how much could they have gotten a 300 yards on offense or whatever. Like, it just... They fucking stink, man. Tim Boyle is a loser. He's a loser, dude.
Tim Boyle's thrown 158 passes now in the NFL. He's thrown 11 interceptions on those passes. 7% interception rate. 7% of his NFL passes have been interceptions. In college, Tim Boyle threw 13 touchdowns and 26 interceptions. How is this guy even in the league?
I don't know. I guess someone said this the other day on Twitter, and they're probably
friends
right.
With Rodgers and Hackett, right? Like that.
He's got to just be a nice, pleasant guy to be around. Got to be a good locker room guy. The coaches like him. Rodgers likes him. You know, that's got to be it. Basically,
hey, before he transferred to Eastern Kentucky, his 3 years at Connecticut, threw one touchdown and 13 interceptions.
And he wasn't even that good at Eastern Kentucky.
No, he threw 13 interceptions there last year. The dude is just he's a turnover machine.
I guess I just don't get it.
We talked about last week because you laid the big points with the Dolphins, because we did this on Thursday last week.
Yeah.
We did on Thanksgiving. We were joking about this game. Dude, Robert Saleh, like, this dude, like, he is dying before our eyes. Like, this guy's soul has left his body. Like,
yeah, he didn't ask for this. Like, this is a dude whose, like, reputation and coaching career has been ruined. And
we've seen some bad seasons from NFL coaches, right? Like, where, like, things have just gone against them and they've got through, like, this seat, like Robert Saleh, like the transformation of like him when he does like those halftime interviews. Like, he had to go do a halftime interview after his team just watched a guy return a Hail Mary 100 yards against them. Like, this guy is down so damn bad. Like, he just looks so like, oh, he needs a vacation. Like, we got to give this guy like 4 months off where he can just like unplug, like away from the earth. Like, oh, I feel so bad for him.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I feel bad for like most of the people involved other than Rodgers and Zach Wilson. I don't really feel bad for them, but everyone else I feel pretty... By the way, there's never been a more eye-rolling NFL storyline than Aaron Rodgers' practice window being opened. It's just even saying those words is giving me a headache. I can't believe it. Shit, all right, that was my number four. Did we already do your number three?
We done all mine but my one.
Okay, we did your number three. All right. My number three is, oh, you're not going to like this one. I bet you're not going to be on this one. The Arizona Cardinals plus 5.5 points against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I don't mind.
You were right last week. I was super wrong on that one. I had the Cardinals on mine last week. Classic McVay owning Kyler situation there. I'm going to be the last person left. I mean, you know, Kyler's going to be traded to the Washington Commanders or whatever, or the Buccaneers, and I'm going to be the last one left on. It'll be like, you know how those internet weirdos will pop up and be like, why isn't Carson Wentz a starting quarterback in the NFL right now? That's going to be me in like 4 years for Kyler Murray. I'm going to be like, you're telling me that Tim Boyle's on an NFL roster and Kyler Murray can't start? Like, that'll be me. But really, I am just going to presume that the Steelers being 5.5 points is a bit of an overreaction based on them finally gaining 400 yards of offense again last week. And I don't know your opinion on that, but I mean, the Kenny Pickett's still Kenny Pickett, you know, it's Kenny Pickett didn't turn into CJ Stroud overnight. Maybe they'll be more efficient on offense. Maybe they've got better stuff, but like, I think it was just kind of a confluence of things that's maybe not necessarily repeatable.
This Kyler is the Murray. Steelers, man, pulling everyone back.
Yes, everyone exactly. Back. This is exactly.
This is so, because their schedule the rest of the way is pretty light, too. They still play the Bengals again. I think they play the Colts next week. Listen, the Steelers are going to make the playoffs. We just have to deal with it. Oh, they play the Patriots next week, then the Colts, my bad. Then the Jake Browning again. So, like, they're probably, shit, dude, they're going to be, I mean, maybe the Colts game you say is like a 50-50. But, like, man, they're probably going to be 10-5. Like head into those last two games, so they're probably gonna get in, and then like what we're in the same thing, right? Like Tomlin's got alligator blood. They get in, they lose to a good quarterback, and then like we're back at square one again. Like this is the Steel. It's like the Steeler mantra of like the last decade. Like they don't lose, they hang around, but they're really not threats to win anything either.
It's insane. I mean, it's actually like
and everyone seems pretty happy with it. Like everyone seems pretty happy with that approach.
Yeah, Tomlin seems fine with it. Ownership seems fine with it. I guess I don't know who the Steelers GM is, but I guess he seems fine with it. Yeah.
I mean, but this is – I don't mind. I don't have this on my list or anything because I don't trust this Cardinals team. I don't trust this Cardinals defense. But well, these are the correct spots, though, where Tomlin typically, like the Steelers historically, like do play down to their
– They play down, sometimes. Yeah.
And, like, even last week, like they should have smoked the Bengals. Like you
said, they finally gained yards on offense and Jake Browning was eating sacks like nothing. I mean, they should have got to 30 and they didn't.
Yeah. They won 16 to 10. So it's like that parade we threw for the Steelers offense. They won 16 to 10. Like,
yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. This is it though. They're making the playoffs though. We just had
to sure. It. Yeah. I mean, you just got to get used to that now. Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to play who in the first round, some good quarterback and,
Texans probably, right?
Oh yeah, well, they already got smoked by them.
Yeah. Shit. Okay, so we've got my number two and your number one. Is that it? Does that check out? I think that's right.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. My number two is the Kansas City Chiefs minus 6 points on the road to the Green Bay Packers. One. Consider me a non-believer in the Jordan Love resurgence. Happy to be wrong. Again, I would always be happy to be wrong about these things. Anytime the thesis of the statement is this quarterback has been outperforming his expectations, I would love for that to be Jordan Love's expectation moving forward. If Jordan Love could be a 7.4 YPA guy who runs a little bit and has three fantasy viable wide receivers, I mean, just chef's fucking kiss. It would be amazing to have another good team for fantasy. The other thing is the Chiefs finally showed like a little bit of sauce on offense. It took gaining 0 yards in the first quarter against the Las Vegas Raiders, but just like a little bit of fight, a little bit of identity, and probably I would say the number one thing, and I've been waiting for them to do this, is just letting the players get in a rhythm. When you are chopping and changing and subbing guys in and subbing guys out, no one can get into a rhythm. Like, and I mean, I don't want to blame all that on the reason why like Tony stinks and Hardman stinks. Like these guys just stink because they stink. But like for Watson and for MBS and for Rice, like, just let these guys play. Just like, don't let the dudes play. And I still feel
for Rice the whole year, just like,
yes, God, just dude, let like, the dude
even
play.
Last week, he's still only 68% of the routes on dropbacks. Like, just let him play a whole game.
It is infinitely frustrating to me. But yeah, I still think you're buying low on the Chiefs, honestly. I think the market is not as sold on the Chiefs as they should be.
Yeah, I didn't have this one on there, not for any particular reason. I definitely think that Jordan Love is probably going to have a down week compared to the past 2 weeks. If he hits here, I'll be surprised, because I mean, this Chiefs defense has just been so good the entirety of the season. So if he's able to hit here, then we'll start to come around. Like you said, I also would like Jordan Love to be. He's like the archetype of guy I would love to be good. So please, I want it to be true.
Amazing. Yeah, it would be incredible. I mean, imagine having another good NFL quarterback in the league that is starting.
I mean,
Tim Boyle.
Please.
Yeah,
please, for the love of God, give us at least like half of these. Can we have half of a league of good players? I mean, there are 32 people on the planet that are good at this job. It's absolutely mind blowing.
There are like 10 people who are good at it.
Sadly. Yeah, I mean, there are some guys that just like aren't allowed to play in the NFL yet that I would probably consider like probably good at it. But like, we're still, there aren't 32 of them. We don't have 32 humans on this planet that are good at playing quarterback.
Do we though? Do we have that many?
No, we don't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. You're number one. I guess I didn't have it. Who do you got?
Oh, yeah. I got the Dolphins.
I mean, look, I got, yeah, obviously I got no issue with this one. I this is a great pick.
I mean, it's literally the most explosive offense in the NFL versus this defense that's just hemorrhaged the most explosive plays in the NFL. Obviously Jack Del Rio now has been someone was gonna fall in that sword eventually for what's happening, and it was gonna take a domino effect. Like, we had to have multiple people before we got to Ron Rivera. You know, first it was Scott Turner, now it's Jack Del Rio, now we're on to like, hey Ron, you're next. But this is literally just the matchup. Really, the only thing better is if this game would be in Miami. But just structurally, when you have what the Dolphins set out to do offensively versus what the Commanders are able to do defensively, especially since they are last in the NFL in pressure rate since they traded Montez Sweat and Chase Young. I would never say a team could score 70 points twice in one season, but like, there's 50s in play here, I think.
50s definitely in play.
So, I mean, it's a lot. The biggest thing is just how we're going to approach this in DFS. Like, I feels like old 2019 days where like, we just have to jam these guys in.
My plan is to just play Howell, to not sweat it that much. Just play a lot of Howell. McLaurin, Dotson, Samuel, probably not that much Logan Thomas, and then I'll be doing it again. I'll be back there with A-Chain. I mean, should be back this week. He started the last game when he came back. Sounds like he maybe could have played last week, and they were like, buddies, it's the Jets. Let's give the
and they should say that again this week against the Commanders.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, Jeff, but Wilson, but now. But now Ahmed's hurt, Jeff Wilson Jr. And they're like, I actually think now the more prudent thing would be like, dude, Raheem Mostert's 31 years old and we just gave him 24 carries against the Jets. Like, we should take it easy on him a little bit and let the young kid go out there and go nuts. Yeah. So
I mean, I would just give the Jeff Wilson and let them throw. I would just probably not call a run play for the first 30 plays of this game.
Might be fun.
This Commander's pass defense is just so bad, dude. Like, you got Kevontae Turpin just like boat racing dudes like that.
I think the rule should be if Kevontae Turpin goes in the Salvation Army Bowl, the game's over. The game's over once
it's just automatically over.
It's over. Yeah.
Drop you the let, sticks. Put the sticks down.
Yeah. Sticks are over. Opposing player has left the game. I think if Turpin goes in the bowl, that's it. It's over.
Because this slate in particular for DFS, because all the buys and everything, like, we don't have the front end quarterbacks, right? Like, we have Hurts and Tua, And then it's pretty wide open. But if Hurts like somehow doesn't get there against the 49ers, and he's gotten there against everyone, there's no reason to think he at least won't be viable. But if Tua drops like a hammer game, like it could be just a situation where like he's so far ahead of the field this week because the field is so weak that if you just didn't have Tua, Tyreek, maybe Waddle. Like, what do you do?
Oh, man? Right. That's what everyone says on fantasy football shows every single week, right? It's like, you know, Jalen Waddle, pretty good leverage on Tyreek.
Nah. I think I've been trying to think about this from like the old days, though, like the 2019 days of, remember when we had Antonio Brown and then one of David Johnson or CMC or Gurley, like during that stretch?
Every week.
I feel like this is one of those weeks where I just want to get CMC and Tyreek. And just like, even if I play like a fucking scrub, because obviously everyone's gonna have Zach Moss, but even if I just play like A.T. Perry or even go back to Greg Dortch or like, I don't know. So like, it just, who cares? Because like these two dudes are gonna do so much work. Like it feels like those days.
Oh, I'm playing Dortch. I'm playing A.T. Perry. I'm playing Lynn Bowden. I'm playing all the scrubs. I'm dead ass playing at least minimum one of
Juwan Johnson. Yeah, play Juwan Johnson.
Yeah. No, I'm a Brevin Jordan guy. I've been completely sold on Brevin Jordan by Jacob Sanderson. He's a big Brevin Jordan guy. So Dalton Schultz, DNP, tank, no practice Wednesday, practice Thursday. We'll see what happens there. But I think
D'Amico said tank's playing.
All right, well. Whatever. I'm still a Brevin Jordan.
But Schultz
guy.
Has a hamstring for sure. Yeah, it feels like one of those, because man, I know Tyreek is, he's 10K on FanDuel, 9-6 on DraftKings, but against this Commanders team, like, it feels
Howell, A-Chain, Moss, Tyreek, punt tight end, punt wide receiver, you're living. It's easy. I bet the Sims are going to have Tyreek as like a giga good play. Like
but
a guy you should play a ton
but
of.
But the crazy people, I think people are going to approach the slate from a meta stance, though, of not taking CMC with Tyreek because of the salary. And there's probably going to be like a 20% gap in like ownership
between
Tyreek and CMC. But I feel like, because I feel like CMC's in a pretty good spot, too. And I want him as well. So, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I had not thought about that angle. I had not thought about the CMC Tyreek angle, honestly.
Remember, we used to do this, like whether it was Gurley, McCaffrey, David Johnson, you get Antonio Brown, and you're just like, whatever, these guys, I know what these guys are doing. And then that's how everyone played DFS for like 2 years, right? Like that's how good Antonio Brown, that people don't realize, like, I feel like people are still underselling what Tyreek's doing in a way. Like it feels like,
yes.
It feels casual. Like it feels casual that this dude has 10 catches for 100 yards. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. He just goes 9 for 125 and a touchdown. And you're like, yeah, I mean, that's just Tyreek. That's what he does.
Yeah, dude literally has more yards through 11 games than any player since 1961. Like, my dad wasn't even born in 1961.
It's kind of gnarly. It's kind of gnarly. Yeah, it's so, good stuff.
But, yeah, this, other than that, though, should be fun.
But other than that, you know, it's good. Yeah, I mean, I think you just go in – plan of attack very heavy on Tyreek this week. It feels like kind of like you just are not going to win with that. Probably multiple Dolphins, honestly, are going to be needed.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said the two angle, like you do Tua CMC, because like just the quarterback is so bad. Like, I don't even know if like, if Tua fails, then it's wide open. Like shit is real wide open because you do have the Hurts factor, but then people are going to play Purdy, I think, for that game. You do have Stroud in like a tough spot. Herbert's probably not going to go nuclear against the Patriots. You're not worried about that. And then it's just like the vagabond dudes, like the QB back end QB1 types, right? Like the guys that get there but never really bury you, like Howell and Russell Wilson and Jared Goff. Like those guys, even if they hit value, like you're not scared about them hitting value.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, it's probably like this week, I could see a really cheap quarterback, like a total unstacked, like Will Levis or something winning the Millie, Baker Mayfield or whatever.
Yeah, it could be like Pickett, like, or something stupid, like Pickett against the Cardinals, or like I said, like maybe Ross is that guy this week because he's running around a little bit and like, yeah, I don't know. It's bad though. The games outside of Eagles 49ers, like, do not look like we're gonna have like a lot of competitive outcomes.
No, they don't. There are a lot of big spreads.
I think Broncos Texans looks like it. I think that looks like a trap game, but that's like the one other possible on the main slate where you're like, hey, these two teams could get there.
True. Yeah, I think that is true. Like, all right, man.
Yeah, all right, yeah. But
we gotta get out of here. Tell the people, Sharp Football. Do we have anything coming for Christmas? What can they expect from Mr. Warren?
I don't know
Warren?
What they're doing for Christmas. Obviously, on my side, they'll probably do more stuff for like Warren in the playoffs because, you know, fantasy football at this point, people either in or out. You know how it is.
Correct. I do.
You're not moving a lot of new subs in fantasy football right now.
Imagine logging in week 13 and being like, dude, I gotta know who to pick up this week. You know, like,
I mean, you should read the worksheet. I'll say that.
Of course you should read the worksheet, but you should have been reading it the whole time. Like, you don't need to,
yeah,
you know
that's
what I'm saying?
I mean, like, I'm not like, you know, the off chance someone's reading it for the first time would be great. But yeah, it's hard to move fantasies. I think they're doing promo code SAVE15 right now or promo code ANGLES. I wish I knew for sure. I'm bad right now. It's December. What are you going to do? It's December.
There are six teams on bye. You know, we are all out here.
Winter
has come for us all. Oh, huge sneeze there. You can tell the winter is coming for me. We're getting out of here, everyone. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week. Good luck. Later.